Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
All right, Block Talk Radio. This is Jack the Hangman Norton. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of the Hangman's Gallows. Today we're going to be talking to Dustin Watson, also known as the Wrestling Genius. He used to do this show with me when it was the Two Old Pros Radio Show. I haven't talked to him for a little while, just kind of see what he's up to. He should be calling in about any time. Let me see if I can get a hold of him. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we want to see what he's up to. I don't care if you call in, but please keep it clean. I had some guys call in last night that were real inappropriate. So, let me see here. Hopefully I gave him the wrong number. That's my fault. Hold on a second here. Let me get a hold of him. I'll try this feature on here. Yeah, here we go. Let's try this. All right, we'll call him up, see if we can get a hold of him. There we go. See if I can get him to answer. Anyways, hold on a second here. We do got a 30-minute show today, so.
This is Dustin Watson. Please leave a message, and I will return your call as soon as possible. Have a great day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have.
Let's try this one more time.
This is Dustin Watson. Please leave a message, and I will return your call as soon as possible. Have a great day.
I was calling you back, man.
All right. You're calling me back?
I was calling you back. I got your voicemail while I was talking to you. And I gave you the wrong number.
Right,
it was 516 instead of 515. But anyways, hey, I got you on the line. So, how you been, man?
House. I'm great, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I was just looking on here, and this says that we started the Two Old Pros Radio Show back in December 1st of 2008.
Oh, my.
It has been that long since we started Two Old Pros Radio Show. And, you know, it's been many years. it's been a while since we, you know, haven't seen each other or talked to each other, you know, and I wanted to restart this radio show like I told you, and I wanted to have you as my first guest on here.
All right.
Just, you know, give us a little rundown of what you've been up to, bro.
Well, I've been teaching. I got a college degree, just about to finish up my second one, and I'm teaching kids, coaching basketball, coaching Scholar Bowl, and getting old.
Both of us are, bro. I mean, you know, we started, like I said, we started this back in 2008, and you were pretty green back then, you know. Tell everybody out there how you got into professional wrestling.
Well, I've been a fan my entire life, which is usually the first way somebody gets in. And then I got in with you. You came into the old main stop, and I was working, and Silent Bill was working, and we got to know each other. So we got in, we started working together, and then trained for a couple years together, and then you got me my debut match, and off we went.
Right, right. What do you remember about your debut match?
I remember getting most of the offense because my opponent was phenomenal. Really enjoyed working with Eric. And then I remember getting you were hurt, but you were still managing me and managing Brad. So I brought you the broken pool cue that you used as a cane, and the crowd was convinced that that was going to play into it. And in my head, I'm going, no, idiots, I'm trying to keep him from ending up hurt again.
Yeah, that was right before my first back surgery.
Yep, right before the first one. And then I remember, I remember more about running the promotion than anything else. That was probably the most contribution I had to the business, and that was fun. Just a great blast meeting all the guys, and hectic dealing with the state of Missouri. But hey, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Right. Now, do you remember? Okay, that the first show you were in. Do you remember later on that night, us in the wagon and pulling people around in the wagon?
Yeah, I had to pull Brad around in the wagon, and that was an absolute blast. And he was so particular about winning the music that we went. I remember that because I had him ready to go, and it was hard for me to get him moving. But
right.
It was great. I think the other thing I remember the most from that first night was Eric and I thought we were going on first, and then this weird music starts playing. And I look at Eric, I'm like, "Is that you?" And he goes, "Hell no, it's not me. Is it you?" And I'm like, "It better dang not be." And then that scraggly dude that Steve chopped the crap out of while we were setting up the ring, he runs out past us, and Eric looks at me and goes, "Guess you're not first, kid. Congrats." I'm like,
"Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, thanks."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember you were pulling Brad around that damn wagon. He's sitting there eating hot dogs and popcorn in the wagon.
Yes.
While you're pulling him around the ring, and I believe it was Blade and Brian were in the ring.
Yep. No, that was the next match. Brad's opponent was Pepe Lopez.
Pepe. Okay. All right. But yeah, I just remember, and then I remember the whole crowd throwing crap at us the whole time, popcorn,
oh,
whatever they
God,
could get a hold
great.
Of.
That was kind of the barrier for entry for me for my managerial work afterward, is that if I didn't get the crowd throwing things, it was bad. And I'll remember, I'll give you a memory I have from the last time I worked, which is when I came into Trenton to manage Blade. And I'm getting chased around the ring by that guy out of Kansas City that you brought in, the 6'4 dude, Alan something or other.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm freaking out of shape. I was a freaking reporter at the time, but I'm running around the ring. And as I get around toward the home stretch where we're going to ambush him, this kid throws a damn folding chair at my legs. And I hurdled it, but it hit my foot, but I was all right. But I was irate. I ran, and after Blade started beating the heck out of him, I walked back over to the security guy and gave him a piece of my mind. And then he had to, didn't even have to go into character because I was pretty unhappy at that point.
Right.
And you were in the ring ref and trying not to laugh your butt off because you were trying to pay attention to the match, but you saw me just going off on that fool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pumping. No, it was a good time, man. I remember that.
Yeah,
that
was Alan Shepard that I brought in.
Alan Shepard, that's who it was. Yes,
yep.
He was a great guy, man.
Yeah.
I remember when we got back to the back afterward, I had to lay a couple forearms into his back to set that spot off, and they were stiff because the crowd was right there.
Right.
And I was like, hey, man, I didn't mean to stiff you with those forearms. And he's like, no, dude, crowd was right there. You got to do what you got to do. I'm like, well, I don't need to heat with anybody, man. So I just wanted you to know I wasn't trying to get anybody. So, no, it was all good, man. So, no, that was great.
You know, I was just looking back here a while back. This July will be, I believe, 8 years. I'm trying to think. No, 7 years. 7 years since my last match in Chillicothe against Blade.
Mm-hmm.
And you did an awesome job with the finish on that.
Well, that was fun, man.
I'll let you tell the story on that one.
Well, we had this was the match at the YMCA, right?
Right.
So the whole point of that match was I was working with Blade, and you and I had been together, but you turned babyface, and I had never worked really well as a babyface. And so we're coming down that janky ramp, and I think the radio guy actually to this day probably still doesn't like me much because he was ring announcing and I owned him.
Randy Dean.
Yeah, I mean, nice guy.
Yeah.
Like he genuinely looked very angry for a while there, and I don't think he's that good of an actor. But, you know, don't get in the ring unless you want to get dealt with. So,
right.
And so we called the end of the match, and the thought was to have you and Brian fighting up. And we were going to lead to another match. So Brian and you fought up to the top of this stage, big metal stage. And he had you up for something. You reversed it into a DDT, and you were both out. And we pretended that you were injured badly. So after the next match, we had you guys get cleared out backstage, carted you off. Brian kind of stumbled away. We carted you off, and a few minutes later, I came out to the stage and I cut a promo, basically trying to ask if there's any doctors or anything in the house. Well, thinking that they tried to come up the ramp, nobody blocked the side entrance, and one of the boys' old lady was a nurse, and she kind of sprinting back there from his gimmick table,
mm-hmm.
and was like, "What do you need?" And I was like, oh, God, no, it's a work. She's like, and she was mad as hell. She was like, damn it, y'all got to tell us about this stuff.
Right, right. Well, we had to tell my girlfriend at the time that because we didn't want her thinking that. Because I just came out, I've been 7 months out of back surgery. My last one, my third one, my fusion. Actually, I'd went for a body slam off the stage on Brian. He reversed it and did a Russian leg sweep, and we both went off the stage backwards.
I couldn't remember if it was that or he DDT'd you, or he went for a spine buster and you DDT reversed it. That was the other one.
I was going to throw him off. I was just going to body slam him off the stage. He reversed it.
Yeah.
Did a Russian leg sweep, and we both went off.
Yep. Raven spotted, I remember that now.
Yeah, but I remember that they were so loud in there, and then all of a sudden when we hit that mat, it was dead silent.
Yep.
Nothing.
I mean, it was kind of bad for the rest of the show. I felt bad for Howard because he was promoting that thing.
Right.
And he knew what we were doing.
Right.
But, I mean, it killed the momentum.
Right.
maybe, you know, if I had it to do again, I'd have probably suggested him doing the thing with the trooper, the soldier that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that, maybe, just to kind of give the crowd that back to normal moment after my promo, but, you know, six of one, half dozen
right.
of the other.
Right,
full credit
right.
to the guys on the rest of the show. I mean, they absolutely got out and killed it.
Right.
Keesman
right.
and Side Al were utterly nuts. So
right. They usually are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
usually
you know,
are.
One of the other things. Well, and that's one of the other things about having been in the business for what I did. And, you know, now I turn on Dynamite and there's one of the guys that was in our locker room
mm-hmm.
working. And
right.
it's just like, man, that's the coolest thing. You know, and he was such a freaking great guy.
Right.
I mean,
right.
so nice. Helpful,
well, that was
giving,
like when,
respectful.
You know, when Joe was on WWE and I'm sitting there going, dude, I taught helped him teach a seminar one time, you know, over in Lawrence.
Yeah,
and I was
he
like,
took the rookies,
wow.
he took the veterans.
Yeah. I was like, wow, you know. If you could do it, would you still do it?
If I could? Oh, God, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the end for me was when the promotion – my wife had to give me $500 or so out of what she'd saved to buy Christmas for the kids,
mm-hmm.
and I'd used it to pay the boys because
right.
we had a benefit show that just bombed. And
right.
that ended the promoting days for me. I mean, and you know, the biggest reason I left the business as an active worker was because when I left, I had bookings open in Arkansas and South Missouri and heading over into a little more of the Southern territories through a contact that we both know.
Mm-hmm.
But because my youngest, who's now 16, she,
right.
She hardly knew who I was, man. So I had to get out. And then the promoting thing, like I said, after that last show bomb, tried it for 2 years. I would have
right.
to go be a heater for anyone again. I'd love it. It's so great popping a crowd. I couldn't be an active worker now if you put a gun to my head. I'm an old fat man, but, you know, I do know that the best talent I ever had in the ring was how to cut a promo and how to piss a crowd off, and I can do that because you just talk to some of the kids who have me in class, I'm good at making people angry.
Well, I got one of those kids that was in your class.
Yeah, but she was good. She was smart
she
enough
was good.
To know when to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. She said you like giving her crap,
didn't.
So.
Huh? I did, too, and she gave it right back. I didn't expect anything less.
Right, right. Well, just like her dad, huh?
For better or for worse.
Right, right.
No, she's a great kid, and I was glad to see her get into amateur wrestling this year. Back into it, I should say.
Right.
You know, she's got talent. And, you know, she can do a lot. So I'm glad that she's found a path and she's a smart kid, which we knew that from when she was a baby.
Right.
You know, anytime she'd get out of line, I'd be like, girl, I changed your diaper.
Yeah, you did.
Girl, I changed
I told
your
her,
diaper.
I told her to ask you one time about the pile driver on, or the powerbomb on the car incident.
Oh, I told about it.
That's what she said.
You know, that's the weirdest thing. I told that story. This is the thing, and this is what people don't understand is, it's amazing to me how much my time as a professional wrestler, both as a worker, as a heater, and as a promoter, has helped me in my professional life. Because,
right.
you know, the first thing you learn in wrestling is you show up to the locker room, you introduce yourself to everybody, you find a spot to sit down, you shut the heck up, and you listen. That's just great
right.
to know for any work of any business you'll ever be in. Show up, shut up, listen to people. And, you know, it's been so beneficial. I was a journalist. You know, I tell the kids I'm blessed that I got to live all three of my dreams. I wanted to be a pro wrestler. I did it. I wanted to be a reporter. I did that for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to be a teacher all along. Here I am. You know, after next year, as long as I knock on some wood here, as long as I don't do anything stupid next year, I'm going to be a tenured teacher, which is a great thing. But
right.
you know, you end up with, you know, I'm blessed to have gotten to live all of my dreams out, and that's why I encourage the kids like I do. But would I do it all again? Oh, in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Right on, right on. Yeah, you know, you mentioned in the beginning of this how we met, that you were working at the Quick Stop up there or whatever it was there,
yep,
in Brookfield. I moved to Brookfield,
yep,
came in there, and I was talking to, you call him Silent Bill. yeah, I was talking to him, and he's like, dude, you're a professional wrestler? And I said, well, I'm retired. I injured my back and hadn't had surgery at that time yet. I was still able to walk and stuff. And
yeah,
he's like, dude, he's
stuck on the concrete.
Yeah. Well, there was, you know, he said, there's this dude that works here. He's not working tonight, but he works overnight. He said, I want to introduce you to him. He says, he likes professional wrestling, and he wants to be a professional wrestler. Maybe you could help him out. And I'd kind of been semi-retired for like 2 years at that time. I was like you, I'm doing it every weekend, Friday and Saturday night for about 3 years. And then, you know, kids don't know who you are and stuff like that. But anyways, you know, he finally introduced me to you, and then we just clicked on everything, and then I started training, and that's when you took the power bomb on the car. I slipped
and
fell
with you. Well, I
remember
the first thing we did was we were sitting there, and you wanted to test me a bit, so we were in Mike, Missouri, which is in the middle of nowhere, and your girlfriend at the time, her parents' place, and we were next to the pond there, and Mike, and anybody who's ever driven by it knows what pond I'm talking about. You German suplexed me right next to the stinking pond on the ground,
mm-hmm,
and it was great. And when I came out of it and weren't complaining, you were like, all right, I think I can do something here. And, you know, we always got along, though, and that's the best part. You know, I think
right,
the other greatest memory of our time together was when we went to WrestleMania 25 in Houston, man. That was phenomenal.
Oh, Jesus.
That was such a great time. we did a live show with Marky McMarkerton down there as part of this show. But I mean, honestly, it was just so great to get to, you know, live that. And you know, now it's weird for me because there's so much, like, I can't even watch WWE anymore. I can't stand it.
It's the same. I'm trying to stop the cussing. I'm starting to go into church.
Yeah, we're not going
stuff
to.
Like I told you.
Yeah.
So, but it's the same stuff over and over and over, and the same people over and over and over.
And I know you're not big on AEW because it's too flippy for you, but man, that pay-per-view Sunday.
I've been watching a little bit of AEW since, you know, like the big show's gone over there.
Yep.
Now Mark Henry's there. Sting's there.
Mark Henry signed. And Sting had the match of the card. Not just and that wasn't a nostalgia pop. That was a guy who knew what he was doing. He totally laid out for Darby Allin, and that kid right there is going to be something amazing, dude. I'm not lying to you. That kid's going to be – he's already a star. He's only going to be a bigger star. And MJF, I mean, any old heel, whoever worked anything in this business, looks at that kid and is just like, yep, that's what we wanted to be. So,
what I do like about MJF is he's an asshole – outside the ring, too.
He doesn't ever break character because according to most people, there's no character.
No.
That's just him.
That's just him.
And you know what?
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
Right.
And you know what? I've also enjoyed – but the thing of it all is it's nice for me now to be able to put aside most of my performer's side,
mm-hmm,
and to just enjoy good wrestling for what it is again.
Right.
You know, the only time I've really had like a blow up was at the pay-per-view Sunday. The world title wasn't on last. And I was
right.
Like, no. World title goes on last. I don't care
right,
who else you got. I don't care if Muhammad Ali climbed out the grave to fight Spider-Man. You put the world championship on last. And they had the pre-tape match last. And I was like, oh, I mean, it was good. But you just don't have to, and I wouldn't have wanted to follow that world title match either. That's the thought for me. My world champion's going to be my best worker. You're going to be my horse. And
right.
I bloody well do not want to have to make anybody follow the best on my roster. And dang sure enough, right. Pac and Omega and Orange Cassidy tore the house.
Orange Cassidy, yeah. I heard, I watched the, I didn't get to watch the pay-per-view, but I watched the YouTube video, you know, review or whatever.
The recap.
And they were,
yeah,
and they were just like, dude, this match was awesome, you know.
It was,
I said Orange, there's no reason Orange Cassidy can't wear that belt.
Absolutely, there's no reason. But see, that's the thing that people forget about wrestling, is that there's no reason anyone who's built right, who has a good character, who can work a good match and have a solid promo, can't be a champion. The belt's a prop.
Right.
It's the most important
right.
prop. I mean, it is the most important prop, bar none, outside of the workers. But it is the most important prop. And
right.
that, to me, was my heat with it, because you have to put the world champion on last. But you know what? I think Omega, Pac, and Cassidy went out there and showed them, you know, if I'd have been those three, I'd have walked back through the curtain and said, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Follow that.
Yeah. See what you got now.
Yep.
See
you want to put
you
me
got
on
now.
Next to last as your world champion? Good luck.
Been watching NXT, I take
it.
Work, nope.
I literally don't watch anything except for I just turned back off my TV. I was watching Hulu Plus Live TV and watching Dynamite, but I tapped out on having any of that stuff, and I just I keep up with AEW mainly. I can't even stand NXT because it's just trying to be something that it will never get to be. You know what I'm saying?
Trying to be WCW.
Well, no, it's trying to be a super indie, which it is, but I invested in NXT. Last time we got to hang out, I was massively investing in NXT when it was just a network show.
Right.
And I got
right.
tired of watching these guys like Balor and Owen, Sami Zayn, and Joe, who were booked correctly, who were done right when they were in that system, but it's never going to be allowed to be that. Even when Vince goes, I don't see the NXT product being mainstream enough to keep Coke as an advertiser or Kay Jewelers.
Right.
And so it's going to all – I don't want to get invested anymore. I mean, that's the big thing with WWE. It's hurt me too much.
Right.
It's hurt me
well,
too
hell,
much,
they just,
man.
They just fired, what, 60 people?
Yeah, and you know what? The more people they want to can, the better it is for AEW. But the advice I would give – which is what they're doing, is to pick and choose real carefully.
Right. Right. Well, it's just like they brought
I'm
in...
I'm glad that they didn't get... Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, who you're going to talk about. It might be the same person I'm thinking.
Well, this deal with Grimes and the Million Dollar Man, he's wanting to be like the Million Dollar Man, and the Million Dollar Man's with L.A. Knight, who he's trying to be Stone Cold Steve Austin now. It's like, dude.
Oh, that's what they're doing with him?
Yeah. I got 90 seconds left, but, you know, if we run over, we run over. Here's the deal. you can't make somebody into somebody. You can't make somebody into Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's not going to happen.
You can't make anybody in anything or not. I think that's a good place for us to leave it. I don't want to get you tossed over stuff. And I know you got an appointment, my friend, so I'm going to – I'll do the old hosting thing like I used to have to do before.
Hit it, my brain. Hit it, my man. 60 seconds.
Brother, I love you. If I got to say anything to the old listeners out there, is that I'm never more than a phone call away from coming on and giving you some thoughts. And be good to each other, take care of each other, and be good to somebody else after you've been good to yourself.
I appreciate it, bro. I love you too. Hey, hit me up anytime. Feel free.
You better believe it. Now that it's summertime, I have some free time.
I got a little bit here and there, so.
I can shoot you
some
text.
Hit me up
when
anytime. Will do.
You got it, brother. Thanks
All
for
right.
having
Peace
me.
Peace out, bro.
Peace, brother. Bye, man.
Later. All right, guys, that's it for the show today. Just telling me calls dropped. That's it for the show today. We got 10 seconds left. I want to thank you guys for listening. I know I didn't take any calls today. I just wanted to go straight through this and not have any BS like I had last night. So have a good day, and I'll talk to you next time.